Good evening. There are no dedications this week, but the reality is we have an extremely large yard site this year. We have quite a number of people sharing a yard site on Simchas Torah this year, which is unfortunate. But where do we come from a year later? What have we done? And where are we now? And where are we going? And it's very interesting that on Simchas Torah, we end the Torah and we begin the Torah. We say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, and we begin immediately, we begin the new Sefer Torah, which is the next Aliyah, which is our tradition. We never want to leave the end because we hope that God will let us continue what we've started, and therefore we begin Bereshis immediately. But the party that we have on Simchas Torah is not for the finishing, it's for beginning once again with a fresh pair of eyes. And that is where we're going tonight. When we begin Bereshis, we begin after another year of going over Sedra by Sedra with new Divrei Torah every year from everybody that we hear during the week. Again and again, some of us listen to so many different things, and our heads are full of all the Rishonim and various new Mefarshim that we hear from various original people during the year. And it was a wonderful thing because then we begin to understand the Torah on a deeper level. It's like being Mava Sedra again and again. And like I always say a pasuk over 10 times. And sometimes a thought comes to your mind because the words don't necessarily make any sense. And that's what we get. We begin with Parshas Zos HaBracha. And the Parsha begins, interestingly enough, and it says, Lifnei Moso, God wants us to know that this is when somebody speaks on his deathbed, he obviously is going to speak the truth. There is nothing for him to gain by lying. And before he meets his maker, he certainly wants to make sure that he's telling the truth. And the pasuk lets us know, Lifnei Moso. But he immediately begins with the brachas that he gives to all the Shvatim. There's a lot of interesting things because all of the brachas are cryptic. In fact, there's so many different interpretations of all the brachas. Of course, in addition to all of that, Yaakov, when he gave the brachas at the end of Vayechi, gave the brachas basically in order of the Shvatim. He started with Reuven and then so on and so forth, Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, and he went on in order of birth. Moshe takes a different track and he begins with Yehuda, then he moves on to Reuven, then he goes on to this and he goes on to that, and even you would think at least he would get to Yosef, but even he mentions Binyamin before Yosef, God before Don Naphtali and Asher. It's like, of course, before Asher, but before Don and Naphtali, it's totally out of order. And there has to be something to that because it's the way he was rating them. But the fact remains, Reuven says, Yechi Reuven v'al Yomos, and as opposed to V'hi Misav Mispar, which is a very interesting statement. There's so many arguments about that. Did that mean because he's staying Avra Yarden, he's going to live Transjordan? And does he need to amass a great family because he needs safety in numbers? And if he'll have a big shevet, he'll be more safe? Or is it something else? That the Gemara says, you know, Yechi V'al Yomos B'Olam Haba, he should live in this world and not die in Olam Haba because of his previous chait, or is Moshe really giving him a blessing? And then, of course, we move on and we get to, interestingly enough, we say, what is the Tomer Li'aviv Li'imo to Levi when he says, Homer Li'aviv Li'imo? And interestingly enough, we skip Shimon. And there's a lesson right there. When Yaakov basically gave a lot of tochacha to Shimon and Levi both, he talks to Levi, but he just skips over Shimon. And that is basically probably, if you have nothing good to say, better off don't say anything. Obviously, he was dissatisfied with all the problems that Shimon caused in the 40 years in the desert. He didn't learn his lesson of Levi. But Levi is one other thing that's also very interesting. Homer li aviv li mo lo ri isur v'yesachov lo ikir. Ki shamru im rosechu v'rischoi yinsoru yoru mishpotech li Yaakov. He says he didn't recognize his brothers. And what is it talking about? Obviously, we know the inference there is that at when Moshe says, Ivruvu Shuvu, Vihirgiu, Vihirgu Ishes Anashovi, Ishes Reyehu, Vishes Krovo, that people had to shave it Levi when they killed the people who worshiped the Egel. They had to sometimes kill a family member and they looked the other way. They did not play favorites. And therefore, because they were able not to play favorites, therefore they are the perfect ones to be the leaders or the teachers, the dayanim, the people, ki shamru im rosecha, yoru mishpotecha liyakov. They are given the job. The next pasuk Moshe begins. Those are the people that we need for judges, who will not be swayed by family, who will not be swayed by things that would seem to sway the average person. They understand how to shed all the improprieties that judges are faced with on a daily basis. And this is why this is the order of the Pesukim. And of course, Yehuda is obviously given the big shrift over here. But what I wanted to get to, very interestingly enough, is Shevet Binyamin. And Shevet Binyamin is very interesting because he says something very small and yet very cryptic and yet probably very meaningful. And I was thinking about it. He says, Levinyamin Omar, Yedid Hashem. What does it mean, Yedid Hashem? Obviously, a person who was loved by God. But what is the inference there? Is all the Shvatim are not loved by God? What singled out Binyamin? And what we have to learn from here is going back to the Mechiras Yosef once again. In Mechiras Yosef, we know that Binyamin is one of those people who never committed a sin. He was not available. He was not around at the Mechiras Yosef and therefore was not guilty. There's another problem, though. Was Yosef, when did Yosef find out about it? Was he complicit after? Was he an accomplice after the fact? Was he somebody who knew about it later and then did not tell his father, and the brothers swore him to secrecy, that they found out that Yosef might be alive, that they sold him down to Egypt and he possibly could be alive, and that's why they were having all these things and his father was there to tell the story, and now they swore him to secrecy? Maybe that's what it is. But if that's the case, then why would he be a Dir Hashem? Because then he's an accomplice. Then he's also guilty of giving his father a lot of tzar. So we might speculate at this point that Binyamin did not know until he went down to Mitzrayim. But there's another way to look at it also. Once Binyamin, even if he found out earlier, he might have found out at some later date and kept his mouth shut, but he understood that God is not, he wants Binyamin not to feel guilty, because since he wasn't there and wasn't complicit with the original sale, the fact that he kept the secret could be at this point in time, he understood that this would be the Golos Mitzrayim going down and he was fulfilling God's wishes with the final result that it meant going down to Mitzrayim to begin the Shibud, and he didn't want to upset the apple cart. And possibly this is God's way through Moshe telling him, Yedid Hashem, God forgives you. You are in my eyes. You were not guilty in any way, shape, or form of the Mechiras Yosef, that even though perhaps you found out about it later, but I don't want you to have that guilty conscience. And Moshe goes on and he gives the other Shevet, the Shvatim, the other brachas. And then, of course, it comes time for him to leave this world. And it says, Vayomas Moshe. And God is, imagine how, you know, we always look for somebody. I know before my father passed away, he knew he was in his last few months. And he gave me a list of people who he told me a few people to who he would want to give the eulogy, to give the hesped. And it particularly was very interesting because he also told me he was a big anav in terms of he was a big Rebbe and there were thousands of people at the funeral. But he also told me who not to speak. He didn't want any lies. And imagine having HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself give you the eulogy, Vayomas Moshe Eved Hashem, and to say Ulechol Hayod HaKazakol Lechol HaMorog HaGodol, for God to say that about a person. Imagine the pinnacle of spirituality, the greatest person to ever walk this earth. It's incredible to have that said about you, something that if we could strive for, that would be the epitome of something, you know, to be called an Eved Hashem is certainly a great eulogy when it comes from God Himself. But when we finish it, we say Chazak Chazak v'nischazek. And Bnei Yisrael are now on the precipice of going into the land of Israel, something phenomenal that they've been waiting for 40 years, doubting whether it will ever come to fruition or not. But they finally are about to cross the finish line. And in 33 days after Moshe dies, they will now be crossing the Jordan River. They will go into Eretz Yisrael, a tremendous thing. They're going over the Yarden. But at this point in time, they're grieving the fact that the person that's been leading them for 40 years, at least take us the first few steps until we get used to living there, they would want, even though not everybody had the same feeling towards Moshe that they had towards Aaron. But nevertheless, the bulk of the people certainly would have wanted Moshe to be the leader. They would have more faith in things going according to plan, according to with a little more confidence if Moshe was leading them. And therefore, when we finish, we say, Chazak, Chazak, v'nischazek. But what is the Chazak really all about? I say we say immediately, Chazak, Chazak, v'nischazek, and we call up the next Aliyah. And when we say the Bereshus, we call up the Chosam Bereshus and we start from the beginning. Now that we've been through these 40 years, we've been through the first couple of thousand years of Judaism, of from the earth's creation until now to the year at this point is 2488 on the calendar. And we've seen all the trials and tribulation of mankind and for the Jews the last few hundred years. And now we've reached this point, we're finally going into Eretz Yisrael, and we see that there are so many mistakes made. So you know what the perfect thing to do at this point in time? The perfect thing is, let's go back and start from the beginning and understand where all our mistakes were. Now that we understand where we are now, where we've arrived, where we've come to, the progress that we made to get here, but it's always a good idea to go over the mistakes that we've made and where we could have shortened that time and gotten to this juncture earlier. Why did we have to wait till the year 2488? We could have been here 2448. We could have been here possibly even earlier than that. What were all the errors in our hanhaga of what we did? And let's start from the beginning. Bereshis Bar Elokim. God created the world in a perfect sense. And in fact, when we see, when we get to Sheni and the Pasuk says, Eilat Toldos HaShemayim Ve'Oretz Behi Baram, this is the only time in all of the Chumash that the word Toldos is spelled Male after the Tuf and after the Dalet, because when God creates something, He creates it into perfection. And when the world was created, it was perfect. And until Adam and Chava walked this earth, everything was pristine and ready for man to exist. And we get Adam and Chava, and we immediately have the first sin. We have Cain and Hevel, and immediately we have the first murder. How do we avoid all these things? How do we avoid having these problems? Do we understand how we got? Let's turn the clock back, not to reach this point where God, by the time the parasha of Bereshis is over, God comes to the point where He says, I have to press the restart button. We've reached the point where the world could no longer exist the way it has been till now. We have to start all over again. We have descended to the depths of depravity or whatever it is. We had a few good people along the way. There was Chanoch, there was Mesushelach, certainly there was Shais, there were various people who did tshuva. And of course, the reason Adam, if he would want to know why do I have to die for a minor crime that I did? But what keeps us walking the straight and narrow? It's the fear of Yaskir Lo Yom HaMisa. But Adam HaRishon, if he had no, he didn't have the capability to say Yaskir Lo Yom HaMisa because God said he would live forever. So he could never do a right tshuva. So we begin this year, we get to Simchas Torah, we see what we've been through for the past year. Are we able to look back at the year to know that we are in Israel at this point in time? But can we turn? We can't turn the clock back, but we can examine all the maisim that we had for the last 40 years that we lived in the Midbar, for the last 75 years that we've had the land of Israel. And we've been through so many wars from 48 to 56 to 67 to 73, the Lebanon War, all these wars. Is there something that we could do to alleviate the pain? Is there something that we can do to alleviate all of the suffering that people have gone through? Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es haaretz. When God created it, it was pristine and perfect. It is up to us. We have that capability to begin anew. When we get to the end of the parsha and it says, V'noach motzachem v'enei Hashem, then let us be those people that God could look down on us and see that for all the trials and tribulations that we've come through this year, that we didn't let the events of the year turn us against Yiddishkeit, as we saw so many people who, unfortunately, not to judge anybody, who lost their way after World War II, which is certainly understandable. When people go through tzaras, it certainly, there's a limit to how much tzaras a person can endure and not maintain his actions. But the fact is, we see it starts a little bit at a time. We see even Avraham Avinu, he had at the beginning two sons, Yishmael and Yitzhak, and he lost one. Yishmael became who he was, and he was able to save Yitzhak. Yitzhak had two sons, Yaakov and Esau, and even he could not have Hashbah. Noach had only three sons. Rav Moshe made a point of saying, why did Noach only have three sons? Because he knew that Noah could not have Hashbah, could not have a good influence on more than three people. And we see that Shem and Yefes, he was able to influence to be good people, but he lost one. Sometimes when we have so many children, there are people that have a lot of children, and if they lose some along the way, there's only so many people that we could have. The Gemara in Ein Darshan tells us there are certain topics that we can only learn with a limited amount of people, because there's always somebody that you're focusing on. There are people that you look at and they focus on you, you focus on them, and somebody else gets lost in the shuffle. That happens many times in families, and we see that. It wasn't until Yaakov that God felt perhaps he was the combination of Avraham and Yitzhak, and maybe he is ready to have 12 children. But we see the pitfalls of having 12 children and playing favorites with one or two of them, or not being able to focus on all of them. Baruch Hashem, at the end of his life, he saw that they were finally unified. Let this year actually serve as the trials and tribulations, the same way that Yaakov lived through all the Nisyonos and Avraham lived through all the Nisyonos and passed them all. Yaakov certainly going through so many problems through his life, but at the end of his life, he died peacefully and with all his children together living in unity. Let this year that we've come, we've seen so much Achdus and Klal Yisrael this year, let it continue from Simchas Torah when we celebrate the year, while we also memorializing, we commemorate the yahrzeit of all those that passed away a year ago, Simchas Torah. But it gives us the springboard to know, look how far we've come, how many people have re-embraced the religion and become, it's amazing. You would never think how many Olim there were this year, how many thousands of Jews have looked at this instead of it chasing them away from the land of Israel and saying, I want to live safely someplace else. There are so many thousands of people who have made Aliyah this summer because they actually believe in Judaism and that God has a plan. That is the stepping stone. When we believe that Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es haaretz, then we look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the only one who can turn to in our time of trouble, then we will be successful. And this year will certainly be much greater in leading us to a much more fruitful year, one that we have nachas from everybody. Thank you, and have a wonderful Yontif. And let's dance and be thankful for all that we've had. And for those of us who certainly have a brighter future this year, may we all have a wonderful Yontif. Thank you.